speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
I'd call your attention this afternoon, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm proud to be a part of a nation that was founded on the principle of freedom. 228 years ago, our founding fathers gave us a national birth certificate that we call the Declaration of Independence. Since that time, this nation has been blessed by God with a prosperity and a liberty that most people of the world will never know. One article I read recently quotes John Adams, one of the authors of that declaration and the second president of the United States, as saying, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity," unquote. Friends, this is a legacy which has inspired millions of Americans to sacrifice, even to the point of spilling their blood for these principles of freedom. And this legacy must not be taken for granted. Yet when I see America today, I see many people using that freedom not for good, but for evil. We seem to want all the freedoms we can get, but none of the responsibility that goes with it, at least of all, before God. Many people don't seem to want freedom of religion, but they want freedom from religion. Our moral compass seems to be broken, and anything and everything from homosexuality to flag burning demands to be allowed. Can this be a great nation? The nation of Washington, of Adams, of Lincoln? I don't think so. Someone once said, our country, right or wrong, when right, must be kept right. When wrong, needs to be put right. And I believe that we're facing a time in history of our nation that we must seek to put right what has gone wrong. And part of putting it right involves asking ourselves, what makes a nation great in God's eyes? And I'd like for us to look to Proverbs 14:34 for God's answer to that question. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness is not merely an idea which will make a nation great, but a quality of life which will characterize the lives of those who live in that nation. And for the sake of some who've never heard, we briefly notice what the Bible means by that important word, righteousness. Biblically speaking, righteousness is simply a right relationship with God that produces righteous behavior. This verse tells us that such righteousness will exalt a nation. Well, how will it do that? First, we must understand that righteousness begins with the individual. Though some external form of righteousness is possible as a result of positive peer pressure, such as the influence of families or church or even some societies, the decisions which produce righteousness have to be made on an individual basis. The righteousness of chameleon Christians will change to the color of skin and the color of sin when they find themselves closer to sinners than they are to saints. And that brings us to the true source of righteousness, which is our righteous God Himself. Righteousness is not produced by man's attempts at being good or moral, which is probably why this verse does not say that religion is what makes people righteous. Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Christ Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." This explains the only way that those who are sinners can become righteous, and that is by faith in Christ Jesus, which is an obedient faith, a faith in action that leads to obedience to Christ. And when they submit and surrender, they begin to live a righteous life. We should be aware that the faith has always produced visible results. For faith without works is dead, being alone. And thus an active faith produces a right standing with God by complying with the will of God that leads to the forgiving of our sins and putting us into a right relationship with God, being justified, being made righteous. In 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4, John comments upon this, inspired comment, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We can see how righteous people make a nation great, because righteous people obey God, which means that they practice what is good, what is holy, what is loving. Righteousness becomes real in the lives of Christians and the lives of the nation where they live. Many people like to call the United States the greatest nation on earth. What they usually mean by that is that we enjoy maybe the greatest economy of the world, or that we have the most powerful military, or that we have the greatest form of government. All of these things I believe to be true, and we should be thankful for the blessing of God on our nation. But God's standard of righteousness is not measured by the economics, the military, the political power we have. True greatness is found in the character of the people of our nation. Is there righteousness there? That righteousness cannot be bought, it cannot be forced or legislated. It must be accepted and practiced by those who not only love their country, but who love the Lord and Savior and seek to live by His standards. In 1831, France sent a young man, age of 26, to study the penal system in America. Now, best I can stab at pronouncing his name, Alexis de Tocqueville. He observed much more in America than just its jails, for he wrote, and I quote, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In the fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness, did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Unquote. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Like righteousness, sin is not just a concept that will ruin a nation, but it is a principle of living that has infected so many in the human race. The Bible is very clear about sin's origin and about the consequences of sin. Sin is opposition to the righteousness of God, which results in a life which is offensive to the holiness of God. Romans 3, verse 11 and 12 states, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Well, in the verse in Proverbs 14:34, we're told that sin will result in the shame of a nation. How does that happen? Sin does not begin with a group, but with an individual. We have all seen those who are affected negatively by those around them. It seems that sin loves to use a crowd to justify its action, but the source of the problem is not who we're around or even with what we do, it's what we are. Which brings us to the source of sinful actions. The Bible says that we are born into a sinful world, and when we embrace its standards, we allow ourselves to be influenced by it, we become a slave to sin. Paul asks in Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" But he says in verse 17 that God be thanked that though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Jesus said in John 8:34, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And this explains the power of sin, but we do not have to remain sinners. Through the truth, we can be transformed from being servants of sin to be servants of righteousness. Back up to verse 1 of Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He says, then we arise to walk in newness of life, and we demonstrate that new life by the way we live. In Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's not just thinking that we're right, but being right in the sight of God. Sin works through people, and it will bring ruin to a nation because it will produce sinful words, sinful actions, sinful attitudes, and sinful people practice sinful works, though they may believe that such works are right and good, but that's how sin ruins people. In New York State, Max Jukes lived. He did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church even when they asked to go. Well, his descendants numbered 1,026. Of those descendants of Max Jukes, 300 were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. 190 were public prostitutes. 680 were admitted alcoholics. His family cost the state in excess of $420,000 and made no contribution to society. Well, living in that same state was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He loved the Lord. He saw that his children were in church every Sunday, and he sought to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. Edwards had 929 descendants. Of his descendants, 430 were preachers. 86 became university professors. 13 became university presidents. 75 authored books, good books. 7 were elected to the United States Congress. 1 was vice president of this nation. And his family never cost the state 1 cent, but contributed immeasurably to the life and freedom in this land today. Well, sin is the aids of the soul that corrupt. And friends, we can make a difference. The first thing we can do is pray for our country. And we should pray as Paul taught Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through verse 4, that we might live a quiet life of freedom. And that we need to pray for all who do not know Christ. We need to pray for our leaders and pray that God raise up leaders who respect the Word of God, and that God remove those leaders who are doing evil and place men who will fear God in their state. And finally, we can participate in the process of electing our leaders. And I hope that if you have not voted yet today, that before dark, you will cast your vote for someone who respects the principles of which we've been speaking. My time is gone. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.